Support for UpToDate is provided by Geisinger, providing world-class care for our community, here where it matters.
Hello and welcome to UpToDate from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to keep you caught up on all the news you should know about. A Pennsylvania state trooper killed in the line of duty was laid to rest yesterday. Hear more from the service. And we'll mark two historical moments in Luzerne County, the Battle of Wyoming and the United States semi-quincentennial. It's Thursday, July 9th. Let's get you up to date. We'll start in Schuylkill County, where fellow police officers, family, friends, and even the governor gathered on Wednesday to celebrate the life of a state trooper who died in the line of duty last week. WVIA's Boris Krauchenyuk reports.
As he strolled through memories in his eulogy, State Police Corporal Chris Graff spoke as if his friend, Trooper Michael Pahira Jr., was there inside North Schuylkill High School with the audience at his funeral. Graff sniffed more than once. Twice, he wiped away tears.
Mike, you were literally the big brother I never had. I'll never forget our younger years when you watched over me in so many ways, protecting me and guiding me through the years. I'll also never forget the times you picked on me like a little brother as well.
Family, friends, police officers from across the country, and even Governor Josh Shapiro and others gathered Wednesday to celebrate Pahira and say goodbye. Pahira inspected large vehicles for safety, which he was doing when he died last week. A tractor-trailer ran over him on Interstate 81 in Schuylkill County. State police filed homicide by vehicle and other counts against 33-year-old Michael Bond, a Haiti native living in the U.S. without legal immigration status. Funeral speakers mostly avoided talk of that Wednesday. Mostly they talked about Pahira's behavior during his life. Pahira's uncle, Bill McHale, talked of his nephew's size and heart.
I've seen him lift, move, carry, shove things around. He was a big guy, and that's certainly true, but he was a better man, and the biggest thing about him was his heart.
Pahira recently moved back to his parents' home to care for his mother because she has cancer. McHale noticed.
Soon after Mike had moved back to his parents' house, I told him how impressed I was by that gesture. He simply stated, my parents needed me. That's Mike. There are times when things happen and you have to wonder why, and this is certainly one of those times.
I'm Boris Krauchenyuk, WVIA News.
Thanks, Boris. Find the full story at WVIA.org. In education news now, Lackawanna College will now offer more degrees and build a presence in the Philadelphia region. WVIA's Sarah Hofius Hall has more on Wednesday's announcement.
Lackawanna College has received final approval from the U.S. Department of Education to merge with Pierce College, an online school based in Philadelphia. With the merger complete, Lackawanna is now the largest open enrollment, private, nonprofit institution at the undergraduate level in Pennsylvania.
I think at the end of the day, it's really going to enhance the Lackawanna College presence and portfolio across the state as we continue to grow.
That's Lackawanna President Jill Murray. Lackawanna is based in Scranton and serves more than 8,000 students annually in 11 locations and online. That number is expected to increase to 10,000 with the merger. Pierce's new name is Lackawanna College Philadelphia Center. Lackawanna's Pierce School of Online Education will allow students to complete their courses 100% online. New degrees with the Lackawanna name will now include paralegal, health information technology, and 6 master's programs. I'm Sarah Hofius Hall, WVIA News.
Stay with us. There's more up to date after this break.
You know WVIA as your arts, news, and information station. It's time to add local sports to the list. Get ready for Sports Voices, a new feature where we partner with Fox 56 TV sports director Bob Ide to discuss the latest local sports news from around Northeast and Central Pennsylvania. We'll look ahead to the week's key games in high school sports, collegiate athletics, and more. Tune in to WVIA-FM at 7:51 and 9:51 a.m. every Friday morning.
Welcome back. Let's rewind a bit now to this past holiday weekend. On Saturday, two significant historical moments were marked at one event in Luzerne County, the Battle of Wyoming and the United States of America's semi-quincentennial. Dr. Christopher Pearl, a local history professor, was the keynote speaker. As WBIA's Kat Bolas reports, his speech focused on two questions.
Pearl stood under a red, white, and blue tent facing the packed audience and the Wyoming Monument.
Whose ground? Whose independence? They are simple questions, but they lead us into a much deeper understanding of what happened here and what we mean when we commemorate independence.
Pearl is the chair of the history department at Lycoming College. On July 3rd, 1778, British loyalists and indigenous warriors battled a Patriot militia. 360 people were killed in the bloody conflict. 100 years later, in 1878, descendants of those who fought in the battle and the community came together to commemorate the moment in history. That tradition lives on today through the Wyoming Commemorative Association. On the grounds off Wyoming Avenue is the Wyoming Monument. The large stone obelisk was built in 1833. It serves as a gravestone for the many victims of the massacre. Descendants of those who fought in the battle, as well as other societies and organizations, laid floral tributes during Saturday's service.
Begin the floral tributes. American Legion, District 12.
The Revolutionary War wouldn't end until 1783, when the Treaty of Paris was signed. But establishing the United States as its own nation, free from the British, began 250 years ago with the signing of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776. Pearl says that date still carries enormous weight in American life.
It is a day of celebration, certainly, but also one of reflection. We gather to remember the moment when independence was declared, and we honor those who fought and sacrificed to secure it.
Before his talk, Pearl said ahead of 1776, communities in Pennsylvania pushed their state and federal representatives towards independence.
Without these towns sort of coming together to ultimately debate and agree to independence, you do not have independence when you do, and you don't have the Commonwealth.
He later asked the crowd to imagine the landscape in Wyoming as it was in the 18th century, without monuments, roads, or even today's state lines.
Instead, this is a river valley that connects worlds.
Pearl spoke in depth about the indigenous people who lived in the valley and how they fit into the land and the massacre's history.
Native peoples did not disappear. They adapted, rebuilt, and continued to exercise sovereignty over this land.
Pearl says the battle was not simply between two clearly defined sides, but rather the product of overlapping conflicts. Pearl says that's why places like Wyoming still matter so much.
They remind us that the American Revolution was not won in Philadelphia with ink and parchment. It was lived in valleys like this one, where ordinary people experienced the revolution not as a philosophical debate, but as fear, loss, displacement, and survival.
Before he spoke, Pearl said there are still examples today of the founding principles of the United States.
By and large, Americans will gather together to help each other. And I think that that's some of the things that I see as part and parcel of that sort of American experiment.
The Wyoming Valley Band played patriotic music throughout the ceremony, which drew the largest crowd since the service began in 1878. In Wyoming, I'm Kat Bolas, WVIA News.
Okay, I hope you're feeling up to date. Find more stories at WVIA.org. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for joining me today. One more show this week, so make sure you subscribe and tune in so you don't miss anything. Have a great day, everyone. I'll catch you tomorrow, right here on Up to Date.